If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the supreme peace of the absolute divine presence. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is, what binds one to this world, and what must one do to free oneself? So take a deep breath and evoke and call forward your own anointed presence. Feel it, feel it, and allow it to fill you with a gentle sense of being. It's quiet. It's peaceful. It's present. It's a sense of wholeness. So just sit unadorned, without self-fabrication. Just sit and be present, just as you are, and be free. Who told you you were bound? Your mind, no one else. Everyone who is self-realized is aware they are free. Take another deep breath. And again, feel the anointing of your own fullness of being filling you, healing you, wherever there is a sense of lack. Wherever there is a sense of bondage, set yourself free through grace. You are God's manifested grace. You are God's manifested presence in time-space. You are the one love, the one beloved. Allow that to define your being. Allow that to be your identity. Why choose a lesser, which would just be a fabrication of the mind? Go for the truth that changes not. And let's just chant the hue. Let's do it about three times. Deep breath. Just quietly be. There's nothing to do. There's nothing you have to do. There's nothing you have to think about. Thoughts are completely unnecessary. Let your mind be. Let it rest in God. Let it be carried along like a leaf in the wind. Let it be as carefree as a playful puppy. As a butterfly dancing in the sunlight. As a rippling, gurgling brook. Allow life to carry you. It's all designed to do so in peace, in bliss, in harmony. Shift out of the worldly mindset. The world is but the machination of the mind. It has neither reality nor substance. It's a shadow play, a play of consciousness, that's all. Experiences, appearances arise and subside like waves in the ocean of being. Allow yourself to be Baba. Do you know what Baba means? Be stands for beingness. A for Atma. B for bliss. A for awareness. That is who you are and what you are forever. What could ever bind you? What could ever bind you? Well, nearly every question of a serious spiritual seeker, I would say, boils down to this. What binds one to this world? And what must one do to free oneself? It seems we all have this sense of being bound and somehow restricted here on this earth, in this world, in this third dimensional zone of material density. We're not sure who or what is keeping us earthbound. And so we've invented all kinds of explanations and hatched a variety of escape plans. And goodness knows we've probably all at some point in time bought into one of these elaborate explanations and linked ourselves with one or many of the escape plans. It's pretty hard to escape from one's mind by outer activity, by outer scenarios, by outer forms of escape, because it's an eternal release that has to happen that has little to nothing to do with all that we fabricate as a doing, as a have to do, in this world. And then, of course, we carry it into the mental plane, don't we? We build a whole variety of reality constructs within the mind. We invent all of these scenarios, all these explanations to explain how the impossible ever took place. It's all in the mind. The only thing that binds one to this world is the mind. So have you ever questioned why you feel bound and restricted? Have you ever gone into this seriously? Have you ever thoroughly investigated your state of consciousness? Why you believe and keep projecting the same scenarios of lack and limitation of problematic scenarios. Did you ever question that? Every God-realized, self-realized being that you will ever encounter, you will find they live in a state that totally transcends what most people think of as reality. So how does the phenomenal world appear to the person who has not attained self-realization? And to the person who has attained self-realization? Well, the phenomenal world appears real to the person who has not attained self-realization. They take this whole gerbil cage as reality. They take their body as who they are, their personality and their social status and their bank account and their whatever they make do to make a living. They take that as who they are. But the one who has attained self-realization, to that person, the phenomenal world and everything in it appears to be a dream. Oh, yes, they'll move through it. They'll act. They'll do what they have to do. They'll take care of their families. They'll do normal-looking behavior, but completely detached, completely serene. Do they have emotions? Do they get up? Yeah, but they watch them from a distance. They watch the behavior of their time-space capsule, i.e. physical persona. They observe it, but they stay in the state of awareness. That's the difference. Big difference. So we're a composite of the physical body, the subtle body, which would be the feelings and the mind, and the soul body, or what's often called the causal body. The physical body is made up of food, called the anamaya kosha. Ana is food. Maya is illusory. So our physical body is the illusion given it by the consumption of food. Then you have the breath body, or the prana maya kosha. Some of you think of it as the etheric. Contains the breath and the five vital airs that cause all of the various behaviors of the body to manifest. Then you have the mind body, the mental body, called the mano maya kosha, or vehicle. Then you have the subtle body, which is also called the intuition or the intellect, which is called the vijnana maya kosha. And then you have the causal or soul body, or atmic body. That's called the bliss body, or the ananda maya kosha. And it's these five coverings or sheets that hide the self that you are, with a capital S, the Atma. So let's look at the mind, because that's the very basis of everything that we experience in the waking and dream states. There are different aspects of what we would call, by one word, mind, but it, you will see, has different ways that it binds us. It has four major aspects. The first aspect of the mind, called manas, gives rise to thoughts and feelings. Manas, or mind, gives rise to thoughts and feelings. Second, it's called citta, when remembering past experiences. It is called buddhi, or intellect when discriminating and deciding. It is called ego or ahamkara when it identifies itself with the body. So we have this mind that gives rise to thoughts and feelings, that has a memory from past experiences, that is capable of discriminating and deciding. And the part that we call the ego, which identifies itself with the body. So these aren't four different entities. They are only names by which the mind is called when it performs different functions. It's important to understand how things are designed to operate. If you want to be able to transcend them, you have to identify them. So the three states of man's existence are basically the waking state, the dream state, and the deep sleep state. But beyond those three states that we're all familiar with is the transcendental state of divine awareness. That is, awake all the time, whether you're in a waking state, a dream state, or a deep sleep state, that part is still the I am that you are forever. So what happens is that we get completely involved in these three states of wakefulness, dream, and deep sleep, and forget entirely the self, which is the basis of all experiences. So we deprive ourselves of the sense of peace and bliss and freedom because we get so engrossed in the body-mind-intellect complex that we lose sight of the I am that forever is. So the innumerable human forms that we see are just waves. They're waves on the ocean of eternal being, eternal existence, eternal bliss. And the waves of the ocean are infinite, but their basis is one. And that same basis gives us our reality. Because even though we appear seemingly in separate forms, we're all waves of the ocean of divine bliss, peace, Satchitananda. So the mind is responsible for our sense of bondage because of our wrong identification of ourselves with our physical bodies. And it's because of that that we see a world of duality, a world that has elements of absolute insanity running amok, of dual experiences of, again, shadow play between good and evil. And we see diversity, but we don't see the unity. When the mind is destroyed and divine awareness, that is to say, it completely dissolves with higher awareness, one experiences the unity in the diversity. And you can see the face of God, the divine presence within every person. You just begin to see the goodness and the divinity and the beauty when the mind is not present, because you see through the eyes of the beloved. So how can we escape from the cycle of birth and death? We can only escape from the cycle of birth and death by transcending those five koshas or sheaths that cover the self, the Atma, or the real I in man. The five sheaths can be transcended by the process of listening to the sound current called Shravana. Contemplation, T, taking what you are receiving, the insights you're receiving, and contemplating them, applying them to yourself personally. That's called manana and direct experience, nidhyasana. We have to experience directly. For example, if you read something or receive an insight inwardly, however that comes to you, you need to really experience it. Be present with it. Don't try to repeat it. Don't try to prolong it. Don't try to do anything with it. Just be with it. And by this means, you can transcend the mind and the five she's and go to that place where the shadow play is observed, but not bought into. So the faculties of man that are responsible for his bondage are the body, the senses, mistaking the sensual input as you and as, you know, what is real, the mind and the intellect. But under that, the substratum of everything is the I am presence. If you ask yourself truly, truly, what is it that I know for certain? The only thing you can say that you know for certain is I exist. Right? I am. So it's questioning your experience to see whether or not it's temporal, because if it's in the time zone, that means it's impermanent. If it's impermanent and in time, that means it's subject to change and modification. What does that tell you? That it's false. It's false evidence appearing real. It's separation. It's deception. Self-deception. Because that which is absolute is changeless, cannot be modified, cannot be distorted. And that part of you that's eternally free and whole and perfect and divine is untouched by the shadow play. Whatever happens, just like your shadow falling on many, many different things, it doesn't affect you, does it? By exact analogy, the things of this world have no effect on you, except if you believe they do. If you believe they have an effect, then it's done to you according to your belief. So the self is the basis of all our experiences. The self pervades the world. We lose sight of the self and think that the world is giving us all these experiences, like joy and sorrow and gain and loss and praise and censure. We look to the world and we lose sight of the only place we can step free is through our own self-realization. You have to realize you're already free. You've never been bound. You've never been in this world. You know, if you live long enough, you'll observe these things happening over and over again. For example, there are those who have dedicated their whole lives to promoting youth and health and longevity, and yet they age, become ill, and pass away like everyone else in this world, and you begin to wonder. Then there's those who taught physical immortality and ascension, and they have also come and gone, leaving their followers to wonder, how are these teachers any different than us? And then there's the psychics and the so-called prophets. And the dates they declare that such and such is sure to happen. These dates come and go. And then some explanation is given and the dates get advanced into the future. Again and again, you can see this happen. Now, unfortunately, what that does is that many people just quit at this point. They become cynical, discount the whole thing as nonsense, a bunch of hoaxes and frauds, and never bother to look deeper or in the right direction, which is to say personally and inwardly. I feel sad when I see this happen, actually, because I realize that people lose both hope and faith when we, again, look to the scenarios of escape, the scenarios that are mind-based. They're born of the mind. They have nothing to do with divine revelation whatsoever. They're machinations of the mind. And they leave you bitter and depressed and put off from the whole spiritual thing. So, first off, you have to ask yourself, what do I believe and why? And next, trace that belief to its inception. Where did I acquire this belief and why? What attracted me to assume that this is thus and so? You know, what basis does it have that's eternal? You'll find that it has none because it's changeable, which means it's part of the world dream of the mind. Notice the influence your friends and associates, your environment, and your indoctrinating sources have had on you. Undertake this, you know, like a undercover agent, like a Sherlock Holmes. Trace your beliefs to their source and notice how often they've changed throughout the years. The key here is that if it's subject to change, it's not absolute truth. Now, this practice is real self-inquiry, real vipassana. And it's a powerful spiritual practice. It is the one that will assist you in transcending to the next level, if that's your nature. Some people have a different approach. But if yours is self-inquiry, then this is a powerful spiritual practice for you. You may discover that all you know has come from others, their thoughts, their concepts, their theories. It has been acquired at the mental level only. And it is the mind that keeps one seeking and never finding. For the time-bound mind can never conceive of anything beyond itself or beyond time and form. So all philosophies, all so-called great literature, psychology, science, research, all temporal worldly knowledge in general is of the mind and goes no higher than the mental plane. So all these religious beliefs as well as all spiritual books can take you only as high as the mental plane at most. Most only take you to the astral plane. But beyond the mental plane, nothing in this world can take you. However, if you're reading a book by a God-realized master or avatar, you can take the sayings and import them into yourself And because they come from a God-realized consciousness, they will awaken and quicken within your mind. They have a living vitality when a person is not coming from the mental. When they're coming from genuine atmic awareness, that transfers as an enlightening into your mind. So that way you can, through the grace of that being, through the enlightenment of that being, you can gain a realization by pondering and contemplating their teachings. And that's what you're to do when you read a genuine spiritual book by a God-realized being. But you internalize it. You find that place where you've had an experience or you have awakened, and you are awakening that experience as you read. That's why we like certain spiritual books. That's exactly why we like them, is because they tell us what we already know. They quicken within us our innate knowing. So we need to be constantly monitoring ourselves if we're on this path of spiritual inquiry. We keep monitoring and observing the self. I say from the balcony. You enjoy the play from the balcony. So constant spiritual monitoring, self-directing, until one is fully established in that self, in the impersonal divine self. And the result of that is unshakable peace. It is the peace that bypasses understanding. It is peace for no reason. It just is. Peace is always a sign of the presence of God. Now, there are six deadly passions of the mind, the ego mind, which are the only real foes we need to vanquish if we would awaken beyond the ego mind into that lasting peace. And the seven deadly passions are desire or lust, anger, greed, attachment, pride, envy, or jealousy. Now, anger, according to Sai Baba, is the worst trait the ego exhibits, for it causes one to go completely unconscious, and in that state, the divine self has been lost sight of. And in that state of anger, one can commit any number of senseless acts against anyone or anything. So anger causes spiritual blindness, and one loses sight of reality. So everyone who commits a crime against anyone or anything, including one's own self, as in suicide, did so while unconscious, and most often in a state of anger. That's why you see criminals come for trial and they have no recall of having done the act. They were taken over totally and possessed by anger. So these are things that prevent us from experiencing the peace and bliss of God, which is our natural, normal state. That's our normal state. So have you really looked at your mundane desires? You know, you have good desires. Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita that he is the author of all godly desires. So you can have God-oriented desires. That's a good thing. But have you ever really looked at your mundane desires, your hopes, your wishes, your expectations? And then look, where would you need to be in order to fulfill those desires? Desire causes rebirth. So are you still longing to meet your soulmate? out. Are you still waiting for something to happen in the future? Look out. Are you still wishing you could be someplace else with someone else, doing something else? Look out. You are where you are, with whom you are, and in the condition you are exactly, because that's where you're meant to be. There's something to learn. There's something to forgive. There's something to look through. There's something to look beyond. There's something to overcome. There's something to transcend. There's no coincidence or accident in this. Let yourself be. Trust that whoever got you into this birth and whoever takes you when you pass from this world, and whoever guards you and keeps you alive in your dreaming, in your sleeping, in your unconscious states, trust that that will get you through whatever it is that you're in at this moment. So have you really investigated what you've taken to be yourself? Your physical body, your personality, your feelings and thoughts. Notice how you say, my body, my personality, my feelings, my thoughts. Don't you? So who is the my that seemingly owns these things, this body, this personality, and so forth? Obviously, it is some part of you that stands separate from these instruments. And that is what you need to wake up within that process and realize, who is that I that everyone in every language claims to be? I. Who is that I? Who am I? That's the question that starts one on a conscious spiritual journey. Who am I? I am I. Focus on that. I am I. Without adding a this or a that. The this and the that is the mind. Limiting you to the phenomenal temporal world. It is the mental associating of yourself, your identity, with your body, your personality, name, status, background, gender, occupation, with all the many this and that's you've identified yourself with. You have bound yourself to the third dimensional world. Rather still, ask yourself, who am I beyond the body, beyond the mind and these thoughts? Who am I before birth? Who am I after death? Who am I while sleeping, dreaming? Who am I beyond time, space, causality? Who am I forever and eternally? Meditate and contemplate this one topic. Who am I? Who is asking? Who is listening? Who is aware and observing? That's real meditation. So it is the mind alone which causes the whole cosmos of the world to appear. It is all within the mind and nowhere else. The mind is the basis of all states, wakefulness, dreaming, and is even active in deep sleep. We form all of these states and realities by the content of the mind. So the subtle body reveals itself in the dream state. The experiences in one's dream state involve only you, and form your own inner world, unseen by others. It's all but a replay of your conscious mind stuff, your own mind stuff, the things you've been involved with during the day, or you've read about, or you've watched on TV, or something that's bothered you. All the characters in the dream are yourself. They represent aspects of your own being. Very personal, your inner world. But it's all a replay of your own mind. 10 people can be sleeping in the same dormitory, and there's likely to be 10 different dreams. Likewise, in the waking state, each will be living within and experiencing their own worldview, populated with their own mental imagery. So the mind creates its own imaginary forms and appearances in the waking and dream states. The mind alone gives rise to our world. The question then to ask oneself here and to inquire into is this: beyond the world my mind has made up, there is the real world that God has created. Above all else, I want to see the real divine world. I want to see beyond the mind and thought imagery. I want to see with divine vision. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may truly see through your eyes. Now, really look. Really look, because your prayer was immediately responded to, for that is the Divine Spirit's task, to open your eyes to truth, to the beauty of your divine identity and reality. So you may be shown at first the many things you've identified with that are not you and not true. That's coming up for a lot of you right now. The Holy Spirit is just being poured out on everybody, and everything's coming up so you can see it for what it is. But remember, you are like God in every way, made in the same spiritual light and sound and love as your Creator, as your Creator's nature. So anything less than a godlike nature is false and must give way to the light of truth. Only what God has created is real. Everything the mind has created is false. Only what God made you eternally is true. It gets to be really simple to discern and discriminate once you know the basis of things. Now, be aware that your mind takes the form of whatever content you place in it. So if you keep watching what's happening in the news, you keep filling your mind with worldly sounds and worldly scenarios and political debates and all of that nonsense, all of that worldly imagery, then you're keeping yourself earthbound at a very low vibration. Because you might have noticed what the media caters to most is the lowest common denominator, the most base three lower chakra topics that you can find, with a great predominance on killing and murdering and harming. That's what you see in the media. Now, if you keep filling your mind with that, you will keep yourself earthbound. You will not experience bliss, and you'll find you're more and more depressed. The more you watch the world, the more depressing it is, because it seems hopeless. And it can't be fixed at any level by a person who's totally unawakened and unconscious, because all transformation has to be within the self. That's where the world exists. That's where it has to be healed. So the world is your reality. So with what are you filling your mind? What do you feed yourself spiritually or mentally? What's going on? What goes in? So if you instead visualize the form of your most beloved, your master, Jesus, Sai Baba, or any other God-realized avatar or master, your mind will take the form of your beloved. When you say the name Jesus, Jesus immediately has to appear because the name and the form come together. You say Sai Baba, Sai Baba immediately appears. So, if you wish to try this experience in your meditation, here is one way you can do it. Visualize in your mind that you're painting and drawing the image of your master, or how you'd imagine your perfect divine self to look. Draw it in as much detail as you can, visualizing it as you do so in your mind. While you're doing that, silently repeat the name of that form. And by that practice, you can imprint the beloved's form in your mind. It's another way to purify it. Here's another spiritual exercise that's very powerful, that's given by Sai Baba. Sit and look at a candle flame, and then transfer that image of that flame to your between your eyebrows. See the flame between your eyebrows. And now you have your eyes closed, of course. Then visualize it descending into the lotus of your heart, opening the petals as it does so, filling them with light. Then bring the light through your mind, your eyes, your nose, your taste, your hearing, all of the senses. Bring it through your throat. Bring it down your arms, your torso, your legs, your feet. And then expand the light in an ever-widening circle, including your family, your friends, your loved ones, even enemies. And then throughout the world and the universe, blessing all worlds and all lives. Then return your awareness to your heart and establish the flame, install it as the divine living presence within you, within your heart. You can visualize the form of your master within that flame if you like or not. And then you can close with three Om's and three Shantis, which of course is peace, the very vibration of peace. And you're good to go. Doing this meditation, the light will gradually purify all of your senses, your mind, your heart, your actions. It'll radiate out to the planet, your friends, your loved ones. So those are two very powerful spiritual visualizations that you can do in your meditations. But one must actually transcend beyond the mental plane. And again, all visualization is in the mind. You've got to get beyond the visualization, beyond the inner processes, and transcend the mental plane. When you do that, you will initially go into the great void. That's the etheric plane. You can't see anything or feel anything. This is where a lot of people get afraid when they meditate, because they feel like they fall down inside themselves. There's sometimes a sensation of falling, and it'll scare them, so they'll come out and they won't proceed. You have to know that you can't fall inside yourself, okay? And get real. You're safe. You're sitting in your chair, wherever. You're fine. Tell your basic self, your inner child, that There might be a sensation of falling, but you're sitting in the chair and everything's fine. You know, you're not going to fall anywhere. You're not going to get lost anywhere. But there is a feeling of that void. And what gets you through it the quickest is absolute love of God and faith. You'll fly on wings if you have love in your heart for God and absolute faith and confidence in your master. Then, you know, you just go through that and you don't even hardly notice it. You also have to be comfortable with not knowing and trusting. You have to just trust this thing. And from there, if you hang in there, you will go into the realm of soul awareness, which is experienced as clarity and pure awareness. It's, I think, the most predominant experience is clarity. It's like everything just becomes clear without thought. So this is an inner journey where God, the divine inner master, appears within you as the divine light, and you hear it as the divine sound. So you look for the light, and you listen inwardly for the sound. I'm going to show you how to center yourself to where you can hear the sound, because very many times I hear soul initiates and initiates of the sound current who have never heard the sound current. And I've never not heard the sound current. If I did not hear the sound, I would freak out, because to me that is God's presence, that I'm connected. So take a deep breath and bring your awareness into the center of your skull. Sit on an imaginary bar that's placed between your ears on the inside of your head. And now listen. In the center of your head, by trying to hear through both ears at the same time in the center of your head. Practice that, and you will, I promise, hear the sound current. It's an inner sound. It has nothing to do with outer noise. Whether you're talking, you can shift your attention to the center of your skull, and you can hear the inner sound. Sometimes it fluctuates between the ears until it centers in the center of your head. With some people, it may take time to gradually center and attune and seat itself. But that's the voice of God. That is the living word of God. That's the only word of God. The rest are things written in books. This is the living word of God. And it's in you as your teacher, as the inner master. Now, the light may come in for many of you as the purple light, which would be the mystical traveler consciousness. Or it may come as the blue star, which would be the Mahanta consciousness. It can also be the blue pearl, which Muktananda used to speak about. It doesn't necessarily have to be connected with a particular teacher or lineage or teaching. But just know that the divine light often appears initially as purple, which is transmutative, or blue, which is the mental plane. And then, when you get in the higher levels, you begin to see the gold of the soul plane and the white of the God realms. And when you connect with the sound current, when you begin to hear it, invariably for me, my body begins to sway back and forth, sometimes very slightly. It'll sort of vibrate. And again, that's something you just notice. Doesn't mean anything other than you're reacting to the sound current. I think that's where the davening came in the Jewish faith, and You see that also in the Tibetan, some of the Tibetan practices. You'll see them davening, going back and forth when they pray. I think it's originally came because they were attuning to the sound current. So this is how you connect with God, and this is how you get your divine guidance. It comes in as the sound current, but it expresses as knowing, as direct knowing. So it comes in as sound, and then the mind, the consciousness, translated into knowing, which then you speak when you're teaching or doing whatever it is you do. It's that wisdom that starts coming through you. So thus your consciousness is carried beyond the astral and the mental worlds into the real world that you share forever with God. So again, you may start your inner journey by sitting and silently singing inwardly, Hue, or Anai Hue. Some of you use the Om. The Om has more to do with the created worlds, but that is fine to start with. If you feel better with the Om, use the Om. The Hue, or the Anai Hue, has the ability of carrying you beyond the mind, because the Hue actually reflects the formless absolute God source as a vibration into one's consciousness, illumining and thus freeing it from the mind. So you set yourself free when you quietly focus on singing Hue. You realize you never were bound. You have always been free. You have always been at home with God. You have just been dreaming dreams. So you've always been soul. And only the mind bought into confinement. So you can transcend the mind now. I've given you several exercises where you can do that. And just be free. Dissolve your mind and your earth binding desires. They will dissolve with the dissolving of the mind, because the mind is just made up of desire. And then you won't have to return to earth, unless, of course, you want to. Some want to come and serve after they've been liberated, and some want to go on and do other things. We're all co-workers. We're all in training to be co-workers. We're all in training to be eternal lovers and servers of all life. So, the chant Anai Hue brings in a sense of empathy and oneness. So that's both of them are very heart-opening. The Ah opens the heart. And work with these sacred mantras if you like, if you choose to, and realize how simple they are. I have found that practice of the sound current and the chanting of the Hue to be the absolute simplest approach to God, and for me, the most effective one. And I've tried very, very many. But this is really a sit down and do nothing, and yet you're doing everything. Practice. So let's go out chanting Anai Hue. Deep breath. Anai Hue. Blessings and grace to each one of you, and may you have a divinely illumined new year ahead and a divinely illumined present moment here and now. Namaste.